Shalom Aleichem. Mishnah Yomi is continuing for Shushan Purim in the 10th chapter of Eruvin, Mishnah Beis. Now remember Mishnah Aleph that we started on Purim, the first day of Purim itself, was someone who finds tefillin in the Rishus Rabim. Now Mishnah Beis is actually a continuation of Mishnah Aleph. In the Gemara, there's no separation here. So we're going to see we're bringing more opinions about what to do with tefillin that are found in Rishus Rabim on Shabbos. Now where we ended up was if it's Shas Sakana, you should cover them up and just go about your business. So the sakana was if, for instance, the government made a decree against wearing tefillin, if they caught you with tefillin, he's in big trouble. So you cover them up until you can find a time after Shabbos to go and retrieve these tefillin without being caught by the government. Now, it's interesting because there's a famous pasuk in the Megillah, Lehudim hayta ora v'simcha sasan v'ikar, and the Gemara in Megillah says, yikar, at the last word, was tefillin. They got their tefillin back. Now, where did the tefillin go? So the Farshim say, actually, Haman HaRasha made a gezera no tefillin. So Haman HaRasha banned tefillin. So this Mishnah, right here at the beginning of the 10th parak of Erevin, is nogeya to the time of Mordechai and Esther when Haman had banned tefillin. And Baruch Hashem, we got them back again in the Purim story. So now we're in Mishnah Beis. Anyways, Rabbi Shimon Omer, notznan lechavero, lechavero, lechavero. He brings another option of what to do. He says, you give them to your friend, and your friend to his friend, until you get to the outer courtyard, you know, an enclosed area, and they would do a rabbinical transfer, like we learned about in the very first Mishnah in Shabbat, to get them inside. So what is he talking about? Is, again, he's talking about a Shas Sakana, but he's talking about a different Sakana. The Gemara explains, we're talking about in Mishnah Aleph, was if the government banned tefillin, they don't want to see any Jews with tefillin. Now what Rabbi Shimon's talking about is, if there's a different kind of sakana, like there might be bandits or robbers or things like this, or it's downtown Baltimore and you find tefillin on Shabbos, you know, that kind of issue. So then the problem is not being seen by the government agents with tefillin, but the problem is let's get them out of here right now and not hang around in this place, which is dangerous. So you go and you get a bunch of your buddies together and you pass them one to another and everyone's standing within 4 amot of one another. So you understand that a transfer in Rishut HaRabim had to be at least 4 amot to be a biblical transfer. So we would get all these people together, so they're all passing from one to another, having a transfer that's less than 4 amot. So everyone's doing a rabbinical transfer, but it's allowed for the sake of saving these tefillin in a matzav where it's dangerous to hang around and wait for after Shabbos to save these tefillin. Now the Gemara brings another option of if there's only one person around and there's no one else to form a human chain with, then the one person could take the tefillin and move them less than 4 amot and then stop and rest, less than 4 amot, stop and rest without putting the tefillin down. And since all of his movements are less than 4 amot, again, it's a rabbinical transfer, but for the sake of saving the tefillin in a situation where it could be hazardous to hang out there, it would be allowed. The Rambam brings both of these options, lehalacha. So the Mishnah continues Rabbi Shimon's opinion, Beken Beno, also his son, if his child wandered out into Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, or a child was Mazel Tov born out in Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, they could form a human chain. Note no lechavero, he passes it to his friend, chavero lechavero, afilu mea, even if you need to get 100 guys, even if you need more than 100 people to play pass the baby into a courtyard, into a Rishus HaYachid area, so you could take care of it appropriately. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, now he brings an even more makel, similar opinion. Noten adam chavit lechaver. You could give a barrel to your friend. Chaver lechaver, afilu chutz l'chum. They could keep forming a human chain and play past the barrel, even outside of the tchum. And what he's talking about is a barrel that's hefker, that doesn't have an owner, because items that have an owner, they go after the tchum of the owner. And we're talking about bringing it to somebody. Remember, if somebody wandered out of the tchum, somebody got a little bit meshugana, and they wandered outside of the tchum, and they're stuck, and Lamaisa, it's getting hot. They need something to drink, so you pass them the barrel. Hopefully it's not a barrel of wine left over from Purim. Hopefully you drank it all yesterday, last night, but a barrel of water, you'd pass them on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yehuda has a permitted way to bring someone outside of the tchum by forming a human chain, their barrel of water. But Amru Lo, but the other sages said, Lo techalach zay yotim rogli ba'alea. An item should not be able to go further than its owner. So what they're saying is a normal item follows the tchum Shabbos of its owner. So just because this barrel of water has no owner, it's hefker, it's ownerless, it shouldn't be able to go more than a normal owned, possessed item, you know, just the 2,000 amos outside of the city. So you couldn't rely on it according to the other sages. Great, let's go on to Mishnah Gimel. Hayakure Besefer Aliskupa. He's reading his book on the porch, on the threshold. It could be a Megillah, and this Golgala Sefer Miado. So one end rolled out of his hands. Golgala Etzlo. He can roll it back to himself. Now the Gemara brings a Braisa that if it was four Amos away, if the other end ended up a whole four Amos away in the Rishus Rabim, he's not allowed rabbinically to roll it back to himself, even though he's still holding one end, because then there might be cases where a person drops the thing entirely, drops the whole Megillah, and the Megillah, part of the Megillah is four Amos away in Rishus Rabim, and it'll come to do a biblical Isser, a biblical transference of moving that Megillah four Amos in the Rishus Rabim. So if it got all the way four Amos away, and some of these Megillot were quite long, as we saw yesterday, so that would be a problem. The Mishnah here continues, Hayakur Barosh Agog. He's reading up on his roof. You know, some people, they just sit up on the roof and do nothing, or they sit on the porch and they're just wasting time. But a Jew, a Yid reads scripture. Yid reads his Mishnah, his Gemara, up on the roof or out on the porch. So he's reading on top of the roof, and that Galgal Sefer Miyado, and one end of the Sefer rolled off the roof. Ad Shelo Higia L'Sar Tfachim Galgal Etzlo. As long as it's not within 10 Tfachim, 10 hands breadths of the ground, Golol Etzlo, he can roll it back up to him. So recall, as we learned in Shabbat, that Rishut Rabim, the airspace of Rishut Rabim, extends only 10 tefachim in the air. So above that is Makom Patur. So even if he wasn't even holding the Sefer and it was sort of dangling off the roof, as long as it's not within the airspace of Rishut Rabim, he can roll it on back. But Misha Higia L'Asar Tefachim, once it's within 10 tefach of the ground, Hochfo Al Katav, turn it upside down so the writing is face down and not getting bleached by the sun. It's not, you know, it would be disrespectful to leave it, you know, to leave Sfarim just hanging open, or to leave the scroll just hanging, you know, a scripture side up in the sun. It's disrespectful. So you got to turn it over because you can't pull it back from Rishus Harabim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afilu Ein Mesulak, Min Aretz Elekim Lo Machat, Golo Etzlo. Rabbi Yehuda brings a medical opinion. Even if it's only a machat, only a needle from the ground, you could, as long as it's not resting on the ground, which is rabim, you could still roll it back to yourself. The Bar Nura seems to have a gear, kimelo chut, a thread's breadth from the ground, you could still roll it back, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, a fila baritz atzmo, he says, even if one end of the scroll or the Megillah is resting on the Shus Rabim, gololo etzlo, he could roll it back to him, she'ein lucha davar mishim shvut, because there is nothing mishum shvut. Now, shvut is a rabbinical prohibition to protect us from doing, so we don't come to do an iser deraisa. So there's no shvut omid bifnei kitvei kodesh that prevents us from respecting the holy scriptures. So what Rishim is saying is if you're still holding one end of the Megillah, then it hasn't completely come to rest in Rishus Rabim. So even though one end is lamaisa on the ground, there's no biblical iser involved here, only rabbinical problem, because the rabbis say, let's make a gezerah once it's near the ground, in the airspace of Rishus Rabim, or on the ground. A person might not realize that if he's not holding the other end of the Sefer, or the Megillah, then mamish, he's doing an Isser Deraisa, a biblical prohibition, to roll it back up to him. So halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. Shulchan Aruch actually brings Rabbi Yehuda, that as long as it's not touching the ground, it'd still be permitted to roll it back up. But the Mishnah Berurah does cite a dissenting opinion of the Gra. So Tzorich Ian, ask your local posek about what to do when you're reading on the roof and your half your Megillah falls close to the ground. In the meantime, Chag Sameach and be well.